Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to a Wednesday, March 8th edition of Daily Faceoff Live. We're streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, as well as, of course, dailyfaceoff.com. He's former NHL netminder, current Daily Faceoff analyst, Mike McKenna. Mike, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, man, doing great. A little rainy day. Ready to talk some hockey. Get it rolling, man. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Made the mistake of drinking a nitro cold brew coffee before doing today's show, and it has it's run through me like nitro, so just hoping to make it to the finish line today. Yeah. Let's throw 2 minutes and 30 seconds up on the clock, and let's play a little game. Speaking of rapid, let's play some rapid fire, and let's talk a little this or that. I'm going to throw three questions at you, and we're going to run through the trade deadline acquisition. So this or that, bigger deadline impact, Jacob Chychrun or Matthias Ekholm?
Jacob Chychrun. He's already playing all three situations for the Ottawa Senators. You can't say the same about Ekholm. He's not going to really touch the power play with Edmonton, even though I think he'll shore up that team. So I'm all in on Chychrun. If the Sens make the playoffs, he will be the reason, number one, number two player, whereas Ekholm, I think, just ties things together in Edmonton.
Yeah, he does appear to tie things together nicely for the Edmonton Oilers. I've been pretty consistent, not in my criticism, but just saying I need to see more from Ekholm in order to believe that he will be a big impact player for the Edmonton Oilers. And I'll agree that both in the short term and the long term impact for the Ottawa Senators to get Jacob Chychrun, to give that team a shot in the arm for one that's battled pretty hard for the bulk of the year after seemingly being out of it in November, to be right back in the playoff chase, I think is pretty important for their overall team confidence and psyche as well. This or that, which team will regret not being more aggressive at the NHL's trade deadline, the Vegas Golden Knights or the Dallas Stars?
I think the Golden Knights, like even at the start of the year, they were missing a scoring right winger. And those players were available at the deadline. And with all the LTIR that the Golden Knights had, they had assets. They've never been afraid to send it before. They didn't get Tarasenko or Meyer or Kane or anybody that would have helped on the right side. And they're a good team, but I'm not sure they're quite there. Dallas made some smart adds, Frank. Domi, he's looked good, played well. Dodonov, more productive than Gerionov. I think they added to that team in Dallas without remaking the club. So I think Vegas had room to play, and they're going to have a tougher route getting out of the Western Conference without having that added scoring.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree and say the Dallas Stars. Like, I think that team, as consistent as they've been all year, they have that, you know, sort of first line scoring punch that is so necessary, but their depth scoring is really what to me stood out. And I don't know that either Max Domi, even though he's had a 50-point season already to this point, and as you mentioned, Evgeny Dodonov, are really moving the needle in any sort of significant way to say that the Dallas Stars have altered their playoff odds. You could say maybe this team went out before and already made their trade deadline acquisition, trading a first round pick for Nils Lundqvist. Obviously, that's more of a future play as well. But for me, I'm not seeing it quickly. Bigger impact, this or that, Tanner Jeannot or Tyler Bertuzzi?
Tyler Bertuzzi, man, 2017 Calder Cup Finals. I played against him, and he was the best player on the ice. Point per game playoff perform in the AHL. He hasn't had a chance at the NHL yet. He'll rat it up. He'll put points on the board. Jeannot had to prove he belonged last year. He may be chasing that rookie season for the rest of his career, Frank. So give me Bertuzzi. I think he's going to be an animal in the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree. Brad Marchand light. You add a player like that. And then you look at also the acquisition cost. Bertuzzi costs a lot less than Jeannot. I know there's more team control, but also for that price, it essentially worked out to two first-round picks for Tanner Jeannot. The one plus the 2, 3, 4, and 5 is equivalent to a late one, as opposed to the deal for Bertuzzi. Even though he's a pending UFA, I think if he has a great run, you try and find a way to keep a player like him and maybe move some other pieces on your roster in the summer. So let's talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs' big win over the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday evening. They've whooped the Devils this season, a team that also can't beat the Arizona Coyotes for whatever reason, but that's just how it works. The Leafs get the 4-3 win despite being outshot by New Jersey. Mitch Marner, 2 points. William Nylander, 2 points. And Austin Matthews with a goal. Jeez, where have those goals been for Austin Matthews? If I told you heading into Tuesday night's game, Mike, that in the beginning of the season, we'd be in March, and Austin Matthews would have as many goals as John Tavares at 28, what would your level of concern be? And what is it now for Austin Matthews as he gets on the score sheet again?
Well, I would have a lot of concern at the start of the season because I don't know who'd be filling up that airspace. But you look at Matthews, oftentimes winger, and William Nylander, he's really had an explosive season. And I have to think that part of that is because Matthews has been dishing and been okay playing for him in the center. So if Nylander's taking up that space, it's good. But you still look at Matthews and do expect more. But Frank, I think that there's a lot going on here with Matthews. Like, he still leads the team in game winners. He has 11 power play goals. Those are pretty close to his career pace. It's just 5-on-5. He's been a little bit down this year. And you look at his shooting percentage, man. He's gone from 17 down to 12, and he's a career 16%. So I think he's a little off the pace. I don't have big concern because, like I say, Nylander's taken up some of that space along with Marner, and they're just so deep at forward that he's the sum of the parts.
Has anyone had a more disappointing season in terms of NHL superstars than Matthews? And I ask that knowing full well that the Toronto Maple Leaf mouth breather fans that are going to be all over me in a second on social media would disagree. But when you look at this year for a guy that scored 60 last year and for someone that scored 51 in 60 some games the year prior to be on pace for 42, how come this hasn't been talked about more? Austin Matthews earns his pay based on the goals that he puts in the back of the net. And people will say, oh, Austin Matthews, look at him. He's blocking more shots than any other forward. He plays so well defensively. Look how hard he backchecks. All those things are great. And I love that Austin Matthews has added another level to his game. Maybe that helps Toronto win in the playoffs. Maybe he's only concerned about winning instead of scoring goals. All of those things, I give him an applause for that because that's what a leader does. But he's also paid to score. And when you're on pace for 42 after scoring 60, that is a massive drop-off. And I don't know why it hasn't been talked about more to this point, because it almost seems like he's been immune to criticism this year. I'm not entirely certain why. You've seen other players continue to skyrocket, and Austin Matthews is on pace for a 40% drop-off in goals, and yet no one is saying a word. What's happening here?
Well, it's because the team's still winning, Frank. That's what it comes down to. And, I mean, he has rounded out his defensive game and played harder in that regard. It's just like you do have to take back sometimes if you're some players to learn your defensive side and be able to grow back your offensive game. Not everybody's McDavid, right? Like, McDavid's improved his defensive game while still managing to score and go off in that area. So I think you're going to look for a rebound for Matthews if his shooting percentage goes back up. But it does need to happen. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he scored 2 goals in the last, 15 games for them, something like that. So there's room for growth there. It has been a down season, but I think he'll bounce back.
Austin Matthews, $11.64 million. If we want to talk about block shots and back checking and playing well defensively, you can get a really good player in this league to do that for $775,000. Not saying, just saying. Let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche and that team really beginning to find its stride. 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. Mike, when it's all said and done in mid-April and the regular season has closed, where will the Colorado Avalanche finish in the regular season standings?
I think they're destined to finish probably third in the Central. I don't see them slotting in at a wild card slot. But I really just wonder about the playoffs.
Why third?
Well, I mean, Minnesota's solid, dude, right now. And here's the problem with the Avs that makes me nervous is that Landeskog's skating, yeah, but when's he going to be back, right? He was supposed to be back in January. Now we don't know. And it looks like you're still going to have Manson out of the lineup until the end of March. Erik Johnsson, he's coming back from a broken ankle, probably not till the first round of the playoffs. So, like, I understand this team has been really solid without them. But I think to really excel, they're going to have one of those two defensemen back in, as well as Landeskog. So I think third, they've had stops and starts this year. Georgiev's given him the best goaltending, but Francouz is out right now as well. So I think they're going to be able to slot third. I don't think they'll go much higher just based on the fact that they're missing players, and you really need them if they're going to make a Stanley Cup run.
All right, I'm taking off the oven mitt, but this is a hot take. Colorado Avalanche, I say they win the West when it's all said and done 6 weeks from now, five weeks and change. I just think this is a team fully capable, even with the injuries that they've had. Would anyone blink if they reeled off 12 straight wins? I wouldn't. No. This team is uber talented, and if they're going to get healthy, Landeskog obviously is not going to be back in the regular season. They have no ability to activate him, but getting some of those defensemen back, as you mentioned, that puts this team on another level. And I just think with the talent that they have assembled, look out in the playoffs if that indeed ends up being the case, because invariably, if they're going to finish higher than third, which is where they woke up this morning in the Central Division standings, that means they're going to have played well down the stretch in order to finish at the top. And sometimes it's just the hottest team at the exact right moment in time. Would you be shocked?
Yeah, I would be if they ended up reeling off 12 in a row right now. Like, I haven't seen it this season on a consistent basis. They've been good, and it comes down to health more than anything. That's really it. I don't think they're as deep at forward. I like picking up Lars Eller to help the spine down the middle. But is JT Compher really going to be the guy to drive that second line? It looks like it. They're a stingy team defensively, though, Frank. That's the one thing I love about the Avalanche that I think. But they don't have the X factor in goal. I don't look at Georgiev the same way I do as an Ottinger or Saros. Georgiev's going to have to prove it to me going down the stretch.
They are, I think, the fastest team in the league. That means something. And I agree. We could have actually put the Avalanche in that conversation with the Dallas Stars in terms of an underwhelming trade deadline. Lars Eller and Jack Johnsson, you know, if they had the cap space, which they did, the $7 million from Gabriel Landeskog, why didn't they spend more of it? And why didn't they get a real impact player? But nonetheless, I think back to the conversation that we had with Nathan MacKinnon at NHL All-Star Weekend. Tyler was there for it. You could hear him in his voice, just the shock of how bad this season has been and how banged up they've been. And yet they still, it's in their sights, 5-6 points away from first place in the Western Conference. The fact that they could still pull that off, given how we've reached a Murphy's Law stage with the injury list this year, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for the Avs, and they can still win the West. To me, that's the mark of a really, really good team. Mike, let's talk about NHL expansion. Did not expect to be having this conversation at any point in time this soon after the league completed its expansion process in Vegas and Seattle, adding the Golden Knights and the Kraken in recent years. But we've all seen the tweets from not just Kevin Weeks, but also John Buchagross. This was a tweet yesterday from Kevin Weeks. Eyes and a question mark. Previously, he tweeted some Houston Arrows and Atlanta Thrasher logos and had the zipper-faced emoji saying, I can't say anymore. I think that's coming from two NHL rights holders has piqued my interest, no doubt, in addition to fans. And this is from John Buchagross on March 3rd last week, right in the middle of trade deadline. No chance to address it in the moment. But I did reach out to the NHL and traded messages today with NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, and I'll fill you in on a little bit of what's happening behind the scenes, which is not much. And Bill Daly says, I'll just read, expansion is not our priority right now, but it doesn't mean we won't listen to people or groups who have interest. That happens to include both Atlanta and Houston, but it also includes other cities as well. I don't think Atlanta and Houston are in any better or worse position than anyone who has expressed interest in the last 12 to 18 months. And there's been no change in the position on our end that we are not looking to expand. So the typical cities and or potential investment groups that reach out to the NHL to engage in conversation. They're not slamming the phone down. It's always good to have backups. And I say backup because it's actually pretty critical as to what happens in Arizona with this vote that's scheduled to take place in Tempe on May 8th, exactly 2 months from today. It's going to be put out a referendum to voters who are going to have to say yes to spending city funds on a new arena in Tempe for the Arizona Coyotes. If that does not pass and there is no sort of ready to go next option for the Coyotes, which I believe how much they've invested to this point with this project, that there would be one on the horizon, I wouldn't be shocked personally. This is just me speaking out completely out of turn to see the Coyotes up and move out of that scenario this summer if that doesn't happen. I don't know how you can possibly think that continuing to play in Mullet Arena is a long-term solution. I don't think the NHL views it that way. They told the Coyotes 18 months ago, this is a temporary solution to a problem. And until you solve the permanent problem, which is getting steel and shovels in the ground for a permanent arena, then we're really just kicking the can down the road. And so without that permanent solution, I don't know how you can possibly make the argument that they would be staying. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, they're a goner. I think if that's the case, you have to make it work in Arizona. And this is a last ditch effort. Like, they have to get that arena built. And I've heard from people on the arena side of things that, hey, man, this seems like a long shot, which even shocked me to hear. So Houston's pretty much plug and play, Frank. Like, that's a market that has a history with professional hockey dating back a long time ago, International Hockey League with the Houston Aeros. Atlanta, though? Whoa, what are we doing? No. But I could see a team in Houston. That would make sense.
I mean, you mentioned plug and play. Central Division, Arizona to Houston, the fifth biggest metro market in the U.S. to the fourth. Seems to make sense on a million different fronts. Clearly, as I mentioned, the exact money quote from Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley, expansion is not our priority right now. So let's move on and let's talk Tampa Bay Lightning, who have had an interesting couple weeks with our friend Eric Erlandson in this week's All 32.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
That's right. Pleased to welcome back to Daily Faceoff Live from the Tampa Bay Lightning practice facility is Lightning insider Eric Erlandson. Eric, glad to have you back. You've certainly had a bit to cover here in the last couple weeks for the Bolts, a team that has just sort of been motoring along the model of consistency the last few years, but have sort of hit a rut in the last couple weeks. The benching on Saturday, the blowout loss on Sunday. What is your level of concern on a 1 to 10 scale for this Tampa Bay Lightning team to properly position itself for when it matters most in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
First of all, Atlanta's only allowed back in if you bring back the Southeast Division. That, those are the rules. That's the only way it happens.
The Southeast.
That's right, yes. I mean, there was some concern because I mean, you give up 27 goals in five games. It's clearly something is not working right. And too many times they've let either Andre Vasilevskiy or Brian Elliott out to dry. I mean, the game they lost at home ice against Buffalo, I mean, Tage Thompson had two breakaway goals. Buffalo won the game in overtime on a breakaway goal. They gave up a 3-on-1. I mean, it's just the attention to details that has been completely lacking in a lot of their game. And when you don't focus in on those details, all of a sudden guys slip behind you and you're not paying attention. I mean, there was a goal Pittsburgh scored where Mikhail Sergachev had no idea the guy was behind him. I mean, that's just complete lack of focus. So it's a mental thing more than a physical thing. And that's kind of what's been the situation. And the benching, obviously, boy, that make waves across the NHL when you sit Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, and Braden Point for an entire period. I mean, that's really rocking the boat a little bit. And I think the hope was that it kind of snapped them out of it, their funk, and kind of brought them in. Because, I mean, look, John Cooper, you don't make that decision based on a couple periods of play at Buffalo. This has been brewing for a while. And those are your leaders. Those are your guys that set the tone. And they had been among the worst offenders. They weren't the only ones, but they were among the worst offenders when it came to that lack of focus. So if I'm going to put a number on their level of concern, I would say 6 right now.
Yeah, and I find it concerning when you see somebody that skates as well as Braden Point just lazily coming back into the zone, not picking up players on Buffalo. I mean, two of the goals were directly related to just effort, mentally and physically, and that's something you typically don't see from Point. Like, he's rock solid. So I share the concern in that, and I think about lately here with the team how, you know, even the middle six seems to kind of be in a blender right now. I mean, Cirelli's played with several different line mates. He's had Hagel and Killorn alongside of him. Jeannot is mixed in as well. Nick Paul's been up and down. Is that middle six kind of murky for the Bolts? Do you expect that to shake out and really have set lines for the rest of the season? Or is Cooper going to have to keep playing with this until he finds the right combos?
Well, I think it's actually a top six that he moves around quite a bit. You know, Stamkos will drop down and play with Cirelli. Hagel will go back up with Point Kucherov. We saw, you know, the third period the other day in Buffalo when those three guys sat. I mean, it was Killorn, Cirelli, and I think Paul were on that line. So the middle six, I think with the addition of Tanner Jeannot, I think they really like the possibilities of Ross Colton and Nick Paul playing with Jeannot as really an effective third line that can forecheck. And you've got two 20-goal scorers on there and a potential guy in Nick Paul who's approaching 20 goals this season. So it's a really good combination of a third line. Bringing in Mikey Asamont, I tell you what, he was really, really good last night. It looks like Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is kind of the odd man out. He's been scratched in two of the last three games as Asamont has kind of come in. So, you know, they've kind of had to shore up their bottom six more so than their middle six. But I think John Cooper is one of these coaches, as a lot of them now are these days, that they're not hesitant to make changes if they don't see something within the first 5, 6, 7 minutes of a game that's not clicking, to move guys around. So it's with this team, everybody's played with basically everybody, with obviously except for Jeannot and Asamont here. So there's a lot of familiarity between the two. So I don't think you have to have set lines. I think it's always ideal because that means things are clicking. But if they don't click, they'll certainly move guys around without hesitation.
Eric, I need to ask about Victor Hedman. Obviously, Bolts fans, they had their hearts in their throat seeing Hedman down in Carolina. He seems like he's avoided the worst, and the team saying he's day-to-day. Give us the latest on Hedman, and just size up for me his season as a whole, because I think a number of people have sort of looked at, you know, the downtick in production, but also just his overall impact on the game. Look, there's no question this guy's played a lot of hockey over the last number of years. Has it caught up to him a little bit in his season as a whole? And is it maybe, you know, if he is okay, just prudent to get this guy as much rest as possible down the stretch?
Yeah, they're very fortunate. He's actually out here on the ice right now as the team is wrapping up practice. So that's a really good sign. It did not look good. You start pointing to your back, you know, especially for a guy who's 6'6" like Victor is, it can really have an effect on everything it is you need to do to be effective. So he's out here doing his regular rotation, out on the power play, everything else. So looks like he's probably a go for tomorrow, which I know a lot of Lightning fans are sighing a big sigh of relief right now knowing that. But yeah, he has not had a Victor Hedman season. This is the first time in probably 7 years we're not going to discuss him in the Norris consideration. His production is, it's picked up of late. He's looked a lot closer to who he is, but then you see other moments, you're like, eh, that's not the Victor Hedman I know. So he's had a down year. He has played a lot of minutes. There's no doubt. We know that this team in particular, nobody's played more hockey than the Lightning have in the past 3 years with all the playoff games and the deep runs. And he's played the most minutes of any of them, right? So it's at some point, there is a diminishing returns aspect of it. And yeah, if they could keep him to 17, 18 minutes a night, I think that'd be ideal. But when you're in the midst of a five-game winless stretch, which they hadn't had in 9 years, you got to get wins, and you got to rely on your top players to get your wins. Plus, knowing Victor Hedman, if you drop him below 22 minutes, he's going to ask, why am I not playing 22 minutes?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Certainly a fair question to ask as well. I'd be curious to see what that workload is like down the stretch. There's not really a lot of places the Lightning can go in the standings. They're not in danger of dropping anywhere, probably aren't going to be climbing anywhere. So maybe it makes sense to have everyone firing on all cylinders when it's all said and done. Thanks so much to Erik Erlandson for joining us today. LightningInsider.com is where you can find his work. If you're not following him already, please do so. Erik_Erlandson on Twitter. He's been covering the Bolts for 22 years. A fantastic job. Thanks so much, Erik. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mike, just ahead of our Daily Faceoff inbox question of the day, wanted to give a little shout out to our ongoing chat on our YouTube channel as people are watching the show today. Bera checking in from Sweden says, not having a team in Quebec City is criminal. And I certainly think that Quebec hockey fans would agree as well. Although Quebec being what would be the smallest market in the NHL, I think there's some significant hurdles to go overcome, even though they have the ready-made building in place. And Prescott, a Flames fan, says that Jonathan Huberdeau is the only star player more disappointing than Austin Matthews. And I would agree with that sentiment as well. An $84 million contract for Jonathan Huberdeau. Mike, I'd also say that Huberdeau hasn't properly been utilized as well. His minutes are down almost 4 minutes a game from last season. And the guy that was the second team all-star at left wing and set an NHL record for most points scored in a single season by a left winger has been on the right side since Christmas. I don't know if you can make logical sense out of that.
No, I can't. I mean, Daryl's going to do what Daryl wants to do, man.
Yeah, that is abundantly clear for every player in that Calgary Flames locker room. Let's get to that Daily Faceoff inbox question of the day. Hashtag AskDFO. We'd be happy to take your question on Twitter. One word to describe the Tony DeAngelo spear.
Predictable. I mean, if I would have known that somebody in the Tampa Bay Lightning versus Philadelphia Flyers game got speared in the plums, my only question would have been, did Corey Perry do it to Tony DeAngelo or did DeAngelo do it to Corey Perry? So this isn't a big surprise to me, man. But it hurts, but it's also kind of funny. Like, I know DeAngelo is going to get suspended, but it's just two guys that you expect it from, Frank.
Yeah, I was going to say there's probably someone somewhere saying, oh, Corey Perry, this is the guy that's on the receiving end of it, maybe deserved. Happen to really like both these guys and DeAngelo and Perry.
I do too.
I would say the word is dirty. Another word is unnecessary. There's just no need to do that. And if we're talking about a pure suspension basis and what may be coming from the Department of Player Safety, these things typically don't end up in suspension. And I did check, there's no added penalty for this to be the direction or area in which Corey Perry was speared. If it was in the stomach or the chest or whatever it might be, it's not any different in terms of the Department of Player Safety's eyes as it is getting speared in the jimmies. I feel like it should be as anyone watching is currently clutching their stomach right now. But also the history there, it's typically a fine. There was a suspension a couple years back. I think it was almost 5 years ago now. Brad Marchand got 2 games, I believe, for spearing Tampa Bay's Jake Dotchin. That's sort of in the range that Tony DeAngelo is looking at, somewhere between a fine and 2 games, which, I don't know, we'll see. And then here's the other clip. Yeah. Everyone on Tampa, Yeah, they did not like
that. You might get one game for a weenie tap, you know? Like, that's a mandatory one gamer for a weenie tap.
Yeah, so you tap a weenie, and then you come back and get your pee-pee slapped by the Department of Player Safety. So there you go. Let's get to Tyler Yaremchuk. And if you think this was funny, you should have seen the conversations that I had this morning checking in on this. It was pretty awesome. Tyler, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing just great right now. Frank channeling his inner Jay Rosehill with some of these comments.
My inner toddler is what I'm channeling.
Yeah. It was a profitable night for me last night on the points bet front. I really needed that. Shout out to Corey Perry and for cutting the puck line. I was fired up to roll that into a busy Wednesday, but honestly, this slate tonight is small and there's not a lot that I really like on it. So I cooked up a little shot prop parlay. Let's jump into it. Two legs on this bad boy, +149. It's a kind of system I've used a bit this year and had success with, finding two guys who are heavy favorites to hit their shot props, playing them together. Moritz Seider, over 1.5. He has hit this in 4 in a row. 3 shots, 2 shots, 4 shots, 4 shots. He's covered it easily in a couple of those games as well. Play that with Kirill Kaprizov. Over his last 5 games, Kaprizov is averaging north of 6 shots per game. He's got 31 in that span. He's hit this mark over 3.5 in 4 of those 5 as well. He's absolutely been ripping the puck as of late. But you play them together, +149, some decent value there on a couple of guys who have been crushing their props as of late. So no over-unders, no sides, no puck lines tonight, just the shot prop parlay, courtesy of our friend by Canada Frank.
Huge respect for that, Tyler. Sometimes prudence is the better part of valor. Yeah. Valor if you're not seeing anything that you like. So shot prop and get out. No need to force any play, and I'm sure any bettor anywhere would understand and respect that discipline. Thank you to Tyler for our Points Bet Daily Bet segment. That brings us to Garbage Time with Mike McKenna. Mike, what's caught your eye from around the hockey world?
Well, it had to be Erik Karlsson tossing his bucket on the ice last night against against the Colorado Avalanche, man. Shots were 34-7 after two periods. It was 6-0 Avalanche in favor. And Alex Newhook hits Karlsson with a high stick. He's bleeding all over, and he's on the bench, and he decides to show his displeasure by wheeling his bucket across the ice, okay? And this is only a couple days after Sharks head coach David Quinn got tossed on Saturday against the Washington Capitals. They lost 8-3. So here's the point, man. The Sharks are teetering. They're 30th place in the NHL. They've lost 5 of their last 7. Like, they're going to have to rein it in. I understand everybody's frustrated, but watching that bucket fly was pretty funny, but it's also kind of a tipping point for this team. So I think San Jose is going to have to try to focus for the rest of the year, or else it could get really ugly there.
I mean, really ugly is what you would call that loss to the Colorado Avalanche. 11 shots that counter was in the third period. Are you kidding me? Are we an NHL good, team, man, or what? I understand the frustration for Karlsson, but yeah, they're also, I'm shocked that David Quinn wasn't fined by the NHL $25,000 for that, that outburst that he had. Maybe the ejection was enough, but yikes, that video did not look good. And we've seen coaches fined for a lot less in the NHL. Good work by you, Mike. Good work by everyone on the Daily Faceoff team for today's edition of Daily Faceoff Live. Thanks for joining us on YouTube and contributing in the chat. If you haven't done so already, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. Let's get that subscriber count up. And we'll be back 12 noon Eastern on Thursday. You know where to find us. Until then, have a great day and enjoy the games, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.